did you see the free throw discrepancy as them being the aggressors or short end of the whistle?
That's for you. That's for you to say, not me. You know, as part of the game, you know, I thought our guys drove the ball hard. I did.
Did you ask for any explanation from on the call on CJ and Omer down in the last minute? Did you get any kind of explanation?
No. They don't talk to me.
Banks it in!
KC Johnson.
Come and get some of this.
Bulls basketball.
Whoa! Stop it!
Taking you inside the locker room with KC Johnson.
Oh, my goodness. Did you not get the memo?
Mulligan Handley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Let's get out to the Home Run In hotline. Try a Home Run In pizza on your grill at your next cookout. Visit HRIGrilling.com for instructions. And there we find a man who needs a little introduction. He is KC Johnson of the Chicago Tribune, covering the Bulls like no other, and having great exchanges with Tom Thibodeau, as everyone did after that game.
Speaking of grilling,
poor Tom. I don't know, KC. That was rough. He was. I've never seen him in that mood. It was almost like he was. I was saying earlier, there was an element of Herbert Lahm there. You know, you didn't know if he was going to chop his finger off and start roaring uproariously. He had this bemused smile like Clouseau.
And then you thought maybe go off. It looked like he was close to going off on Sam's questions. Yeah, that was a key sequence there. Thanks for pulling me in on that.
It was just weird.
Or maybe like the velvet smoking jacket, just kind of chilling. You know, he seems subdued to me. It's just weird. He's been so, you know, intense, and even after, you know, regular season losses, he'd be almost snappy and, you know, really, really intense and into it. And I don't know, I think he's just accepting, not accepting, but I think he just recognizes how difficult things are right now. And he's just, to me, in both games, and even his sideline demeanor, I thought he's been very, very subdued the last few games.
Certainly all bets are off when Derek goes down and compound it that much more when Joakim's out. But have you ever covered a series like this or any?
No.
I mean, you look at this, you look at the statistics for that awful Sixers team, and that's one of the worst perimeter shooting teams. And they've lost, they lose 12 of 14 in the regular season when shooting less than 40%, and yet they win the last two shooting less than 40%. There's no rhyme or reason to how they're up 3-1 in this series.
No, and they also don't usually win close games. In the regular season, the record in close games wasn't good either. So I'm telling you, all three of us have been around professional sports a long time. I've never seen anything like this. Just the feeling of going, you know, entering the playoffs, finally, you know, after this rigorous regular season where you had so many guys down, you know, finally kind of getting healthy. Just the momentum and the positivity that was surrounding this team going into the playoffs as the league's number one seed. And then the fall in just such a short time, you know, first with Derek going down, then with Joakim going down, and then the three straight losses. It's really unlike anything the feel of a team that I've ever been around.
Yeah, I got to tell you, they've played that way too.
Exactly.
You know, it's been really disappointing to watch the way they've played. And, you know, I got to be honest with you. I mean, Philadelphia is not much better. That game yesterday was awful to sit through. It must have been terrible to cover, but there was some really bad basketball, some incredibly dumb turnovers, and some moments like where Carlos throws the ball into like the 18th row. What the heck is going on? It was just bizarre.
I loved your tweet that Holiday and Watson and CJ would take a week to finish a game of horse.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. You cannot get – this is why this sounds crazy, because we all know this has a funeral feel to it, but I'm really fascinated to see Tuesday's game, because you cannot get past the fact that Philadelphia is not very good. So I know the Bulls look like they're done, or, you know, it feels like they're done, they're acting like they're done, but it is going to be interesting to see what they come with on Tuesday night, because – no matter what they are trying to do in terms of how poorly they're playing, Philadelphia can't run away and hide. They just don't have, you know, the perimeter scoring. Now, if, you know, the Bulls start turning over and they get in the open court, that's one thing. But if you make it a half-court game, which the Bulls did in both games out there in Philly, I thought the pace was what the Bulls need. You know, the Bulls were out-rebounding Philadelphia. They were limiting their fast break points. And then the Bulls still lose both games. So if you keep them in that pace in that half court game, you've got a shot. But it's just weird to even say like the number one seed has a shot against the eighth seed. It's just been a wacky series all the way around.
And if in fact they do become the fifth number one seed to take a first round exit, does everyone get a pass because of the injuries, or do you start looking at this thing with a more critical eye and saying, okay, what the hell happened here? You still, if Tom believes in what he says that we have enough here to win, then you should have won the series. So that, you know, how do you start evaluating everything from the front office on down? Was this a flawed roster? Because you should still be able to beat this team in this series.
I agree, and you guys know there's always fallout when there's something bad happens or unexpected happens. So what that fallout exactly will be, I'm not sure. You also have to, how it will affect the Tom Thibodeau contract negotiations. Yep. is a fair debate. I don't know the answer to that. He's obviously under contract for next season with a team option that I fully expect to be exercised. But, whether or not he'll get the long-term deal that he was hoping to get before, I don't know. You'd like to think that he still will because he's obviously a good coach. But this certainly will have some kind of ramifications. And the other thing is, guys, regardless of what's going to happen here, the roster now is going to look different next season. It was already going to look a little different, but Derek's injury has some pretty, lasting ramifications because, you were next season going to have some cheap roster spots anyway because his extension kicks in. And now with him out most of the season, you wonder if they just, write off part of next season and make some decisions financially based on that.
Well, what decisions are there? I mean, obviously you got C.J. Watson and you've got Korver and Brewer. And I don't know. I mean, you bring back one of them, two of them, none of them?
Having this debate with somebody yesterday. And I want to emphasize, not anybody associated with the organization. It was actually somebody from another team. But the number we came up with, at maximum one of those three is back, and it might be zero. My guess is that, and again, this is guess. I haven't talked to anybody in the organization because I was going to, if and when the run ends, that's when you start kind of talking about those things. But my guess is that CJ would be the one of those three back just because you've got Derek out for a lot of next season. You got three options there. They're going to match on Omer, regardless of what Omer gets, because the most Omer can get from another team as a restricted free agent is the mid-level. So they're going to match on Omer, so he'll be back. Taj will be back because he's still under contract. But my point is, after that, you're going to see a lot of minimum salary guys. This sounds crazy, but Brian Scalabrine has a good chance to be on the Bulls next year.
Oh,
he's going to come on the veterans minimum. And he's obviously liked by the coaching staff. So that's what's going to happen here with Derek's extension kicking in. Is you're gonna have some financial impact next season.
You can't afford a guy that doesn't play though, can you? I mean, you're going to need guys to play.
Well, but if Derek's out and if Luol's out for part of next season, what do you think they think their chances are to win a championship next year?
And that's why you don't amnesty Boozer, because it's a wash next year anyway. You might as well get what you can get out of it.
There is zero. Let me say this. Clearly, so everybody understands, there's 0% chance that Carlos Boozer will be amnestied this summer. Zero.
Could you amnesty him next year?
I thought you were going to ask, could you amnesty him today?
Well, no, but you could constantly, I mean, isn't it throughout the course of the contract you still have the amnesty?
Next summer you could, but I mean.
Right. If you get Rose back and you get Ding back at the end of the year, and
then you want to use that money elsewhere.
You got the kid in Europe and you got the Charlotte. Listen, it's a train wreck.
How'd you guys think Carlos played yesterday? It's weird because he puts up these monster numbers, and I'm still getting fans' emails. It's just killing this guy.
Well, because you watch the game, things happen with that guy you don't see happen anywhere else.
You know what it is, KC? There's a misnomer that he is an interior scorer. That guy's a mid-range jump shot shooter.
Correct.
That's what he is. So this idea that they need interior scoring, that still exists. They don't have – he does not give that to you. He cannot – I mean, he's ambidextrous. That's a neat little trick, but he can't take the ball to the basket. He didn't get his shot blocked.
God bless Body, a.k.a. Ben Wallace. But, I mean, they've needed that guy for a long time now, and because the summer LeBron worked out so well for the Heat, you end up getting this guy, and you're looking at all that money invested, and he's got the all-lobby body, and then you watch him play, and he's soft as can be.
Yeah, it's weird. 23-11, and he's still just getting ripped. And there were several instances where he didn't get back on defense.
Right.
He had the two big plays late where Brand blocked his shot and then he committed the unforced turnover. So
the next time he follows his shot would be the first time too.
I can't even emphasize enough how much this Derek injury has just changed.
It's changed everything. And it's also, I mean, it's kind of exposed everybody, too. I mean, all the way around. I think that so much of this team is waiting for him to come back and waiting. And then the absolute abject disappointment of him being out. And the other element is, the other team is very confident now because he's out. It just, I can't believe Philly is awful. And
right.
to lose to them and the way they're losing to them is shocking. Really is.
Well, that's what I want to emphasize. Beyond us getting duped by how this team would respond to Derek's injury, I can tell you that people within the organization are upset by being fooled as well. I mean, just, in other words, most people around the organization, in the organization, thought that this team would respond differently than it has. So, It's been exposed is a great word, Molly. I mean, Derek's injury has really, really exposed some flaws on this roster that otherwise I don't think a lot of people thought existed. And look, we all know the playoff basketball is different than regular season basketball, but you just keep coming back to this. It's not like Philadelphia's a juggernaut.
No, they won't win. They won't win a quarter, not a game, a quarter in the next round.
But I mean, you know the other problem? It's exposed this roster not just to the Bulls and their management, but to the league.
Yeah.
So when you start talking about who can you move and how can you rebuild and how can you clear cap space, there's not going to be a lot of options here other than letting guys go. It's not like, I mean, whatever market existed for some of these guys is going to disappear. Because of this injury.
Right, and that's where I keep talking about also the ramifications of Derek's extension, because when you lock in the four guys making north of $10 million, you already know going in. I mean, that right there is your core. Like, you don't have much flexibility off that core. So your team now, moving forward next season, is Rose, Noah, Boozer, Dang. And Rose is not going to be there. So your core for next season is Noah, Boozer, Dang. And as we've seen in this series, and actually I should say Vang might be out for part of that because he has surgery.
Well, but then he claims he's not having surgery. Is that just so he gets to play in the Olympics? I mean, don't you have to have a conversation with the guy about sitting out the Olympics? I understand he was a refugee. He was brought in by the country. He's looked forward to this for a very long time, but he's not going to be back for the beginning of the season if he plays in the Olympics. I don't believe that.
Well, he has kept open the small possibility that he will not need surgery, but anybody who has seen him play in this series would say he needs surgery, especially yesterday. He rarely likes talking about the wrist, and then post-game yesterday he talked about how
he fell on it.
Yeah, we all saw it. I mean, he was wincing and grimacing more than he ever has since he had the injury. And so he's left open the small possibility that he will not need surgery, but I'm almost certain that he will, and I'm almost certain that he's going to play in the Olympics because he keeps saying that he's going to. So, then you're down Dang and Rose to start next season. It's just, again, the fall from the feeling after that final regular season game to today, it's really almost indescribable.
We have a texter here. We'll let you go, but how about this one? This guy, this is genius. He says, amnesty Rose. Okay, you amnesty that contract, and then you cut a secret deal with it. You're paying him anyway. Where you pay him like a minimum salary, bring him back. I love this idea. And then,
oh God,
you're secretly paying all that money off the books.
Are we ever going to see Rip Hamilton in the fourth quarter?
What do you think, Casey? Can you sign back a guy you amnesty?
Well, no, he can sign another $100 million with somebody else.
Well, I know, but
he gets the walking away money. The 95 million.
Cut the secret
million.
Agreement with him.
Oh yeah, he's going to leave $100 million on the table somewhere else.
Well, because he wants players around him.
I'm going to say David Stern on line two for that one.
Someone's thinking outside the box.
And before I run, I keep asking Tom, why is Richard Hamilton not playing in the fourth quarter of playoff games? I don't know. All I can do is ask the question because I've asked it every game.
It's unbelievable. The guy's, whatever. You brought him in here for what exactly?
Mike James. I mean, who's the starting lineup now? Is it Mike James?
It's the same group he trotted out the rest of the game.
You go get Brian's kid from Marquette. You just load up the future.
It's too late to make changes now. Just keep trotting the one-armed guy out there and whatever.
Wow.
Well, the good thing is if they lose Tuesday night and the season's over, it won't be in the newspaper on Wednesday because of the 8:30 tip.
Yeah, that's nice. They David pushed
Stern
it back
online too, yeah.
All right, KC, thanks a ton.
Take care. See you guys.
Oh, boy.
Amnesty Rose.